Hello, everybody. Welcome to Scattered Afterthoughts. I'm here with Joshua.
Hey.
And Corbin.
Yo.
It's me.
I'm Josh.
And we're Jorben.
Scattered Afterthoughts. Oh, I thought you were going to say it at the same time as me.
No, we're I thought that's what you were going to say.
What? Okay. One, two, three. Scattered after.
Like scattered.
Come on, dude.
Okay, sorry.
Okay.
Let's do it again.
Just right. Scattered.
Countdown.
Countdown.
One, two, three. Scattered.
You were really slow.
I mean, I think that's within acceptable range.
2017.
We'll work on it.
Here we are.
2017. It is the year 2017.
Confetti sound effect.
We're still alive and kicking.
I guess so.
I'm 108 years old.
Kevin's 108 years old. Still not dead yet.
I'm getting there.
He's close. But it's not ready to give up.
Yeah.
It's not ready to give in a death.
I'm working on a plan right now to isolate my father and treat him with a medicine that'll loosen up his memory until he won't know him or what's going on, you know, in the state of the world, because he'll be isolated. I'll adopt him, and it'll be the perfect revenge.
Huh. That's interesting.
Is this a movie script?
No, it's just what I'm planning on doing.
Okay.
Let me know how that goes so I can try it on someone.
Yeah, we'll just we can post a tutorial. Yeah.
Thanks, Dad.
Is
that ethical?
Is that ethical? I think the word you're looking for is possible.
Well, I mean,
crossed that line a long time ago.
It might be okay.
I'll take care of him well.
I'll ask my intro to philosophy professor about that, and he'll give me insight after I read my Najik book about anyway.
Anyway.
I hope he helps you figure it out. Let me know.
I hope so too. Anyway, when it comes to happies and crappies, let's go around. Joshua, what's your happy?
My happy is that last night I finished Gurren, which I enjoyed.
Ooh.
And so now I've like finally watched it. Starting it for since like 2014, I've started it, and then I didn't end up watching it, and then watch it with some friends, and then don't finish it. So I finally finished it last watching it. Like there'd be a few months between sometimes, and then I'd get back to watching it. The ending really bummed me out. I don't know, because like...
Really?
Yeah.
That's what I was going to ask you, actually, is about the ending.
Yeah, I actually think it's bad. Don't get me wrong. I think I really appreciate it when an ending isn't just, you know, what you're expecting out perfectly. But at the same time, even if it is... unless it's intentionally like frustrating, saddening, it needs, I feel like, unless the point it's trying to make not. In this case, it's not trying to you know, illustrate anything like that. It's just that this kind of saddening, and that's okay. But I was bummed out all night, and I fell asleep at like 2 in the morning and dreamt extra episode where Sun and Kamina both end up marrying Yoko.
What? Wait, wait. And, this is not the direction that the next episode is going to go in.
And I felt better, but then I woke up. Remember, that wasn't what closure. Happened. Yeah. I did enjoy the show. Well. I like Mixed
Up. The show was really good. I think I'm actually in the same camp as you, where, like, the ending, like, the ending I don't think was bad, but really did kind of, like, bum me out. It was just like, well, like, I know that, like, this is good that they didn't just give us, like, the standard happy ending, but at the same time, I, like, kind of, you know, I'm kind of sad that they didn't get the standard happy ending.
It's like, I can't criticize it, but I do feel...
You want them to
succeed,
right? You want them to get the happy ending by that point.
Right. It's weird. It kind of reminds me of, and this is the typical, you know, show that will also be brought up. It reminds me of when I finished Evangelion for the first time, and I like really wasn't sure how to feel. But that was
me.
Different. There's a lot more to that than it just being kind of sad.
Yeah.
Where
there's a lot of acid trippery going on.
Yeah. And if Gurren Lagann has a lot of that too, the last few episodes, but it's not the same. It's not, there's barely any self-hatred in Gurren Lagann.
And I mean, like, I personally think the ending was a really, you know, it was kind of like a nice surprise, you know, in a show that like celebrated shonen kind of tropes, like Gurren Lagann did. I think it was a nice ending to have that kind of like, it's not just going to be the typical happy end.
I liked particularly, can we, catch a look, is that okay?
I think, I mean, it's been so long.
I particularly liked the progression of Rossio. You know, the ponytail guy, the like religious commune village. He started out like really innocent and kind of trying to be like the rational guy, and then he actually became seemingly awful and manipulative. You know, rigid by the books to the point that, you know, he was putting his death. And then you get to actually see the toll that takes on it. And he gets to grow out of that and, you know, move forward from that. And I appreciated that. Like, I thought, even though, you know, he was of most of the main characters, he was the least involved in action. But his development most interesting, and he actually got a pretty okay pretty okay ending, I think. Whereas Simon, it's weird, like as soon as Nia dies, he just walks away, and I would have thought that he would have wanted to, you know, stay with everyone, seeing as he keeps losing people. He might want to stick around with the friends and family he has left. Instead, he's like, all right, later. And he puts on his cape and he walks away. And then he's an old man and no one knows who he is. And I guess I'm supposed to feel happy, inspired by that, but I just got really upset. Because, like, the entire first half of the show is about, like, his becoming his own person.
Yeah.
Then, suddenly in the last few episodes, he resembles Kamina, which they specifically said earlier in the show, you know, don't do that. Be your own person. Don't try and emulate him. And I guess that was meant to express that he came to it naturally, and through his exploration of his own self and his own motivation, and became a similar inspirational figure, and that's fine. Then he, like, he's old, and he leaves. I want to think that he, you know, he comes back eventually, and he talks to, you know, he sees old Yoko, but I'm sad.
Yeah. I mean, I have that too, where I just kind of want them, I don't know, after like such a long show too, right? And I'm seeing all these struggles that everybody's having, and I just kind of want, like, I want them to be happy more so than I just want, like, the quote-unquote perfect ending, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I just kind of, and it has happens with a lot of shows I watch, you know, you get, like, emotionally attached to a lot of the characters.
Right. And I wasn't expecting a show that's so intentionally, by design, inspirational. Mm. You know, every layer to that show, about growth and, you know, succeeding in some way. And then the end ended bummer.
Yeah.
That kind of threw me off. That's my happy and crappy. I liked the part where the anti-spiral giant mansion was chucking planets at Tengatapu Gurren Lagann. So I'll give it a that scene where the manifestation of the anti-spiral mashes together galaxies and creates a big bang and chucks it at Tengatapu Gurren Lagann. Because that was pretty cool, and that's my happy and crappy.
Wow, that's
how long is that show? How many episodes?
It's 20. And then there might—I might be wrong—but isn't there like a film or something that covers the last few episodes? But it might just be like a recap thing.
I don't know if there's any. I don't know if there's any new material in film.
I'll look it up.
All right, Corbin, give me a happy.
My happy is the new Migos album.
The new what album?
Bad Bullshit. Cut up the with the ooze. My dick is bum with the boo. It's it's full of bangers.
The new what album?
Migos album. You probably don't listen to them. Only people with patrician taste, aka 100. Hold on. 107,401,845 other people. All patrician. Anyway, that's my happy.
Are they like
hip-hop? Yeah, it's like trap rap. I'm not gonna say it's like the most musically the composition is like the best ever. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just not like a masterpiece.
Well, hip hop typically is, you know, it's less about song. You know, just appeal.
This genre of hip hop is, yeah, definitely not like, I don't know, man. It's just super catchy, super energy. That's all I really care about. It's like watching a Marvel movie or something, you know, not like the best movies ever made. Not like, I mean, well, some of them are really good, but like if you watched Avengers 2 or something, it's just like that, you know. I give it like a 7 out of 10. It's pretty good, pretty solid.
I'll have to check it out.
You probably won't like it.
Oh, okay.
But I mean, you can if you want. Let's see. My crappy is that I'm home for the weekend and I didn't bring anything to like do. And I've been so bored. I've been sitting on top of this bed for hours and hours.
Wow.
Just doing nothing.
Are you on your phone right now or your computer?
I'm on my iPad.
iPad.
Okay.
I mean, I didn't bring my computer. I can't even play like Overwatch. Yeah, I can like watch all the hentai I want. And I mean all the anime.
That's what it's about.
It's anime. Come on.
Yeah. And I just been on Reddit and just stuff, and I kind of ran out of stuff to read on Reddit, so then I would just go somewhere else, and I don't know, man. I feel like I'm brain dead.
Well, I'm all for, like, lying back and, you know, whatever, but if you do that for too long without, like, getting up and walking or something, you end up just feeling miserable. Also, yeah. There were two movies that just covered, like, you know, a few episodes of the show. And I think both of them had a bit of, like, new animation. I guess maybe it was like, polished out. But the second one more than the first. But neither of them, you know, it wasn't, like, new story. It
wasn't, like, and new canon or anything.
I think I could be wrong. That's what it seems. What seems to be the case.
I wonder if they're how they're polished up compared to like the Blu-ray release.
I don't know. But I watched it on Netflix. I don't know which version it would be. But I just found out there was a Nintendo DS game for it in Japan.
Oh, really?
Developed and published by Konami.
You
remember Konami?
Yeah,
I don't want to happen, but that sounds kind of fun. I'm gonna look up what that game's like. But what's your happy and crappy drama?
Let's see. Well, a happy, I guess. Well, I got a job recently, so that's something.
Oh, really?
Oh, really? Yeah.
I'm working with a startup that I'm gonna be the head of their website and marketing department, kind of thing.
Oh, that sounds great.
It should be a lot of fun to just kind of like, you know, be in an actual work environment and learn some new stuff while I'm there. But it's definitely I'm going to have to dedicate some more time. It's only part time. Just I'm still a student, obviously. So.
Oh, yeah.
Dang. That's pretty big for a student, I feel like.
Yeah, that sounds great.
So hopefully it'll be a lot of fun. Yeah, I'm pretty excited to, you know, actually work there.
Are they asking a lot of you to make the website
it's
a lot
more management of existing website and quote unquote redesign, but the website is through a content management system, so it's not like a static HTML or custom kind of thing, so it should be fairly simple, straightforward for the most part at the beginning. It's a lot of creation of, you know, sort of like landing pages for different products that they will be releasing fairly soon, and it's just like deadlines are essentially just making it by, you know, they want to, the owner basically wants to present these right in sort of convention style, right? So just present it to everybody, and so I just need to have like landing pages and any forms and stuff set up and ready to go with, you know, making sure it's all like cached properly so it doesn't like break on the opening day and things like that. But yeah, for right now, at least, you know, for the first maybe like 4 or 5 months, I'm pretty familiar with what I need to be doing, but we'll see. A lot of the beginning is going to be training as well.
I'm actually going to be going into stuff involving like web design in school. So let me know how that goes.
All right, yeah.
And even though that might not be exactly all that you're doing, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, I mean, this is slightly different.
Also, that you got a job.
Oh, well, I guess the crappy is going to be that I'm going to have slightly less time than I usually do, right? But even then, it's not. I don't think it'll be too big of a deal, and I'm still going to have like the weekend off, so it should be okay because I'll just be able. It's just going to be a lot of work throughout the regular week. In between classes, and then the weekend I'll have off to do whatever.
But that's awesome.
Yeah.
And the pay is pretty good too.
Yeah. I mean, right now we have like standard introduction rate kind of thing for most companies, but for what I, you know, I kind of told him around what I would be getting paid at larger companies for doing this kind of thing. And if it all goes well within 30 days, I should contract. Hopefully, nothing goes wrong and I don't quit by 30 days. So.
Yeah. That's awesome.
That's what's happened recently in my life. And I've also reinstalled all the stuff I need for recording gameplay videos and stuff. So, because I'm starting, I want to do the YouTube stuff again. So I've installed all these games. I'm trying to look for new games on Steam. I went to the all Steam releases, realized how many terrible games there are on Steam every day.
Yeah.
And there's like mobile ports of games. I'm just like, why do I want to play this with a keyboard and mouse? I don't understand.
Yeah.
And it's kind of weird. I've been kind of slower to get that going rather than like... It was easier to just remake the Scattered Afterthoughts website and blog and set all of that up on a new server than it was to just like find a game to play on Steam.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess it's all about finding that new game that not too many people know about, but you know it's going to be really good.
You can't just go to popular releases because they're already popular.
Yeah, exactly.
But a lot of the popular releases are fun. And there was one game that came out recently, actually, called Astroneer. I don't know if you guys have heard of it.
I've heard of it.
But I've seen people stream it because it's in early access right now. And I usually don't like early access games, and I don't like the idea of buying them, paying for like, you know, unfinished game.
But uh-huh.
From what I've seen people stream, it's the engine itself and the assets so far seem extremely well polished, and I really like that. I really like that most of what he's done so far is kind of end game material. Like, it's polished and good to go. And what he's essentially done is just made it a sort of modular system where he's adding more to it, right?
Yeah.
So he's actually done it correctly, where he set up the engine perfectly. Or I can't say perfectly, but he set up the engine very well in the first place. And so now he's adding things to the actual game. He's just adding content to the game. So,
oh, yeah. Isn't that that game that looks like it's just like a better version of No Man's Sky?
Essentially, like what he wants to do will essentially be a better version of No Man's Sky. Or where, you know, you kind of like start off in an alien planet kind of thing, and you just have materials you can collect, and I don't know if there's any combat in the game yet. I don't think he's added any sort of that kind of thing yet. But you start off with basically nothing, like absolutely nothing. It is much harder to do anything in Astroneers than it is to do in No Man's Sky. But from what I've seen so far, it looks good, but obviously it's early access, so right now it's more of a concept than
I think it seems pretty cool. Has promise.
So we'll see. If it ever gets released, I think I'll be very interested in playing it. All right, so what have you been doing, kind of, Corbin? Have you been doing anything interesting since our last podcast?
Yeah, actually, I don't know why I didn't say this as my happy, but I started a club, a student organization at my college. It's a music appreciation club, and I've been working hard getting it up and running. I made an entire website for it with like forms and stuff that people can submit.
Nice.
Join, to like request certain things. So like what happens is the one part of the club is for people like local musicians or people who make stuff.
Oh, that's great.
And so I've been getting that up and running. I made a website for it, and that took a while. But yeah, so like part of the club is for local musicians and people who make music at the university, like show off like what they've made, and like we can talk about it and stuff. And then another part is for sharing music. So like we have like different weeks of the month. Like one week is for passing. It's just called Pass the Ox, and like people get to share like a song that they've been listening to lately, and then like we just all say what we like and don't like about the song. We got like one week where it's people can just come and talk about, like, do like a little mini presentation on like an album that means something to them, and like we just listen to part of the album or I guess the whole album if we have enough time, and we talk about that, and hopefully the person who presents the album like knows a good amount about it, spit some facts, expand our tastes, you know. We got like genre of the month, you know, where we, I think we're starting off with just like rock and pop and just, you know, broad genres, and that's where that's where like I'm definitely going to be participating with that, but it's really going to be focused on like essential albums of that genre or like classics, and that's, and we talk about that, like do a presentation on that kind of. And then what's the fourth? The fourth week we're trying to working on doing live performances, like getting bands to like play for the club and stuff. But you know, of course, we gotta. It hasn't actually started yet. The whole our first meeting is going to be probably February 8th, 7th, a Tuesday or whatever, the first Tuesday of February, and we're definitely going to be like ironing out all the kinks and the and stuff. So it's going to be interesting. Great. Yeah, it's going to be fun. That's what I've been doing. I've been getting that up and running and advertising and all that.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Thanks. I'm trying to get the hipsters out of their rooms.
So you don't listen to country music. I like you.
Yeah, that's kind of like what I've been telling people. Like, there's this one guy who was like, I mean, all I listen to is like rap and stuff. I'm like, dude, all music tastes are welcome. Like, even if the only thing you listen to is Nickelback, like, you're still like totally welcome to join.
I guess you just have to be careful about like, stuff like that.
That's exactly what I thought about, and I put that as like one of the principles. I put like a few principles, like ground rules, I guess. Not really rules, just kind of like etiquette, you know, about that.
I guess you.
I basically said that, put it up on the website, but I'm going to be talking about it at our first meeting, definitely, about being elitist. And like, if you, I mean, it's okay to not like something, but you can't like attack the person.
Or you're excommunicated.
Yeah. Like, and if you're going to say something bad about the meeting, got to be like a good constructive, you know, like constructive or opinion, like instead of saying it sucks. Yeah so
sounds cool.
I've thought about that. I've been on 4chan for too long on mute to know that being elitist with music is a thing. So anyway, that's me, that's what I've been doing.
Nice.
What have you been doing recently, Joshua?
I've mostly, and I might have talked about this last, I'm not sure. I've mostly just been doing school, classes, stuff like that. Working on doing more, getting stuff put together, with a digital audio workshop I downloaded.
Okay.
To make some different music. Not
what did you do?
Yet, but it's you know, it's definitely a work.
What software did you download?
Reaper.
That's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Who uses Reaper?
My buddy Sean that has what?
I'm sorry, I was thinking of there was some artist, I forgot who it was, that uses Reaper, like, for his making his music.
I mean, Reaper's pretty big at this point.
My buddy, has, like, 16 different projects going on at once at any given time. I think he mixes, like, everything through Reaper. And so, I have faith. If not faith in me, I have faith in the software. It's something. He has everything together on his label. What am I thinking? Middleman Records. And it's just like, I mean, I got the right program. It's free.
Yeah.
It's like a, it's like WinRare in that regard. Yeah, you open it up and it's like, hey, man, you gotta buy this. And you say, no, I don't. And then you
you close the window.
Yes, but give them money. It's a good program. Give them money if you can afford it.
Nah, man, I pirated FL Studio. Yeah, I mean, I make music sometimes, and I have like 10 unfinished stuff that I just haven't finished because I just don't know how to. Just stuck on them.
Was that? I had like an awful week and haven't had a chance to like get that. You remember you sent me something? It was like Converge.
Oh yeah, Converge Live. They're making a Jane Doe Live album.
It's coming out. I thought that
like
might have been
this
like
month.
Okay, sweet.
Oh no, that wasn't me. No. I was just trying to show you
like
how
band Converge.
Awesome. Yeah, I joined.
You absorbed them like Kirby.
Man. They performed Jane Doe live and they recorded it. And it sounds amazing. Like, it sounds, like, kind of better than the original recording, almost.
Well, that sounds great. I'll check that out.
But
thank
that's
you.
All they released so far is the song as, like, the single for it. The Jane Doe. Mm-hmm. I can't wait to see, like, what the other songs sound like. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, that's going to be great.
Geronimo has no idea what we're talking about.
I mean, not really.
Because we're patrician. We're patrician taste.
I don't create music. I just create websites. That's all I've been recently.
I do both, Geronimo. Get on my level.
I've just been working on the Skitter Afterthought stuff. Since reviving it from the dead. Basically what I've been doing.
Corbin, do you have like music friends at school that if, like, and I'm asking because this certainly wasn't the first time I heard this. I worked last summer with a guy that was guitar and could sing, and he was like, yeah, playing guitar, playing music, picking up chicks. And it would always like really gross me out when he would say stuff like that because I played music because I liked music. And this dude who has like all of my interests turns out to be a gigantic bro, and it was just felt gross.
Bro.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm not gonna lie. I love making music and stuff, but deep down, I really hope it like impresses some chick.
It's like
it's just like you're hoping that, like maybe
your main appeal, you know what I mean?
No, but yeah, there's a difference between just like solely doing it like you know, you go to the
Corbin. Wow.
Oh, you
go to the gym and then
Sorry. I feel like that guy is kind of like picking up guitar and singing, kind of the same way you go to the gym to like get fit solely to get some hot babes, you know, to like raise your attractiveness level.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of going to the gym to work out and because you care about health or whatever,
right.
Because you love yourself and you know you want to. Change your body.
Other than not loving yourself, wanting to change so much to where you can find someone who loves you. I don't know.
Yeah. Like, I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, I understand, obviously, like, physical, like, you know, appearance and whatever is, like, super important, but I don't know the proper way to express this. Exceptions, but
that guy's just a poser.
Yeah, if you're going to get someone interested in you because you're buff. Like, I don't know, you're just getting under, that would fall under like a very small umbrella. I don't, that's probably not the best way to put it, but I think you kind of get what I mean. Like, what are you going to do when you become not buff?
Yeah.
Chat, what are you going to do when she's pregnant and you don't have anything to do but sit at home and, you know,
Chad.
Drink beer. Oh, that buffness went away, Chad. That buffness went away. And
then you get a divorce because
you're not buff. She doesn't love you anymore because you're not buff.
That was the only thing keeping you together was the buff.
Was the buff. That's it.
It's, yeah.
It's all it boils down to is the buff.
I'll never get ripped.
Yeah, end of story. That's why I avoid gyms, anyway. Right. Yeah, that guy sounds like a kind of a poser.
You know, I wanted to be friends with him, but he was just perpetually, like, and I hated that job, but...
Why am I not getting any chicks?
Well, I'd see him in the morning, and I'd be like, hey, good morning, and he would just go, like, grunt. I think I tweeted about that specific instance.
You did?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like people who, I mean, even if you're, like, in a kind of crappy situation, like a crappy job, but if you just complain about it every single day, that's all you talk about.
Well,
I just get so annoyed.
I probably complain more than him, but, like, I acted happy to see him, and he was like freaking Donkey Kong when you're trying to find those bananas, and those bananas are gone. And you just walk around, and you're like... yeah. That was... Yeah. I worked with Donkey Kong.
Yeah. Oh, that was the moral of the story.
Moral of the story.
No.
TLDR, like, I worked with Donkey Kong once.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Donkey Kong is like... I'm Donkey Kong... You know what's really tight about throwing barrels? And, you know, I'm Diddy Kong in this situation. I'm like, what, Donkey Kong? What is it? Because you can kill those freaking disgusting lesser being who try to steal your bananas? And he's like, no, it's because I think it'll get Candy Kong interested. And I want to breed Diddy Kong, and I'll be like, "What? Why? Why don't you just go talk to her? Candy Kong serves as like a save point, I'm pretty sure. Why don't you just go talk to her?" And he's like, "You don't get it." Barrels.
It's like, look, I'm not trying to collect these bananas to give back to Cranky Kong, okay? I don't care that his collection of bananas got stolen. I'm getting these bananas back to impress him. Oh, yeah, it was his own, that's right. Well, I'm going to go back and get my own collection of bananas to impress Candy Kong.
That's like...
Not so I can have my bananas back.
Yeah, it's like... But DK... Bananas. You live in your treehouse, and underneath there's your banana horse. Listen, Diddy. I'm trying to get with it. I'm going to... Friggin', like... We're about to have Donkey Kong Jr. And it's like, are you? And he's like, yeah, man, I'm going to throw some beer. I'm going to kill some of those beavers. It's like, geez, you're taking
a
little far.
Yeah, she'd be watching. Can't he be watching? She'd be watching these bananas.
Yeah.
She'd be watching these bananas I'd be picking up. She'd be watching me pick up these bananas and put them back in my house.
Meanwhile, while Donkey Kong is doing this, Funky Kong is over. He takes a sweet ride that he built himself over to Candy's save point, and they've already had like 16 little gorillas, and Donkey Kong doesn't even know, and he's just throwing barrels around like, yeah, man, this is gonna get, yeah, hook line gonna get Candy Kong. Meanwhile, Donkey Kong is turning Donkey Kong into Cucky Kong.
Okay. All right, we're done. We're done. We're done with that analogy. We're done. We've gone too far. Let's talk about Mario now. Now, Mario, you know, Mario's not jumping around getting stars, you know, just to get stars and save the kingdom. You know, he's doing it to get Peach, you know.
Meanwhile, I guess
that is the point of the game.
Luigi's. Oh yeah, you're right. Well, shoot. Well.
So the Overwatch. Anyway.
So the Overwatch.
I don't know anything about. I mean, out. I know about Overwatch, but I don't. Overwatch. I have a PS4. I guess I could, but I figured I'd wait until I have like a play with you guys. So.
Yeah.
I'm gonna browse
in that game. Winston is doing research, you know, not to get with Tracer, but he's doing it because he just loves science. Like gorilla just loves science.
Didn't you see the comic?
No, I didn't actually. I don't know any of the lore. I was just making
stuff up. Tracer has a girlfriend already.
Yeah.
But aren't they also dating?
I don't think that's canon. I think that's in r/Overwatch.
Where does Torbjorn come into play with this whole triangle of love?
Oh, Torbjorn has a wife.
Wow, that's boring.
That's it. That's us, the story, according to the comic.
Wow, normal heterosexual love. That sucks. That's so boring. Yeah, I got the May skin. The red one? I forgot what it's named.
Really? You just got it?
Yeah, you mean the one where they changed her body?
Nick? Yeah, they did change her body. I don't really care. I'm not one of those
people.
Did
they actually?
They made her waist like a little, like, they had this belt on her, and it makes her waist look a little skinnier. Like, she looks curvier now, instead of just like a blob under a fur coat, you know?
She looks like a very large coat.
That's what I meant to say. Like, she looks like a blob with just a fur coat on.
I don't blame people for getting kind of upset with that. But, I mean, I'm not super involved.
I mean, at the end of the day, none of these, a lot of these proportions on people are not exactly realistic in the first place.
Yeah, it's a pretty cartoony game.
Messing around with it, I don't think, is too big of a problem.
But, man, I really want the new Roadhog skin. It's just, like, his face mask is a literal pig. And it's got, like, a super weird eye. It's eyes, and it's just really creepy, and it's cool, and I want it. But I'm, like, 800 coins away from buying it, and I'm just been trying to get loot crates by not paying for them. So it's going to be a long and drawn out process. Nick, on the other hand, bought like 20 crates and he's got like plus all the skins that came out. So.
I am literally like, I need to play more Overwatch on my own to try to get the crates, but I am like about to just buy a bunch of crates because I want them to see and be the skin.
There's so many good skins. Skin. Have you seen that Anna skin
Diva
with like the creepy mask? That's dope.
The Diva skin is so good, and the emotes and everything are really nice.
Yeah,
and I like the changes they made. Because they added gameplay changes, right? So one of the things was like the new hook, right, for Roadhog Hook 2.1, I think it is.
Yeah,
that fixes a lot of the problems that had before, and then they nerfed rapid crouching, so you can only crouch a certain amount of times per minute now, right? So the rate has been lowered, and the main problem with that was like Soldier would just like sit in a corner and just spam crouch while shooting enemies, and you couldn't, like, it was very difficult to hit him.
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought it was because of
T-Bag. That wasn't a giant issue, but it was somewhat of an unintended problem. Like, that was no way intended by the developers, so they nerfed crouching a bit. Trying to think what else. There have been, like, quality of life changes. Like, you can have selected up to 4 voice lines and 4 emotes for each character now.
Yeah, which is really nice. That's pretty cool. Didn't they, like, nerf D.Va or something?
Yeah, they nerfed D.Va. They've essentially transformed 200 of her armor into 200 health, which is actually a pretty big nerf. Because most of the thing with D.Va is their armor. Armor takes up about...
Like it takes
1.5... In terms of bullets, it takes 1.5 bullets to remove one armor, whereas one bullet removes one health. So that's how it's how it's done in game terms. And so removing her armor and replacing it with health is a really big nerf on a tank hero.
Yeah, that is. But it was really annoying to kill other divas. It took so long.
Yeah, I mean, I think... And she was part of the issue with the... they nerfed Anna slightly as well, but nowhere near as bad as D.Va. It was just a tiny nerf. And then they just... I think they want to get rid of the tank meta that had kind of, you know, become the standard for Overwatch, especially in competitive play, which was usually revolved around Anna and Lucio, right, as healer. Or Anna and some other healer with D.Va and two other tanks and a soldier. So that was basically the meta. And it was kind of getting stale. It was literally every match. And the thing was that it was just objectively and mechanically the best meta. Or the best most of the time. The win rate for that kind of team was so high that if you didn't do it, you were taking a big risk.
I actually didn't know that. I don't know too much about like the competitive
side. And I don't, now with the new balance changes, I mean, it's like with any game, you know, when they release the new big balance changes, it'll take a while, I think, for the new meta to develop, especially now that they have the new Oasis map as well. So that's going to go into the rotation, and it's a capture point map. So it's a weird one, and it has like a jump pad and stuff. So they're,
yeah,
I think they just had fun designing that map, and it's probably has a lot of separate aspects that they might use in creating new maps.
Yeah, I feel like every time I play Oasis, I lose for some reason.
Yeah, right now I'm just really not too familiar with the map. You know, whereas the other ones in the standard rotation before, you know, I just played on them so much, I knew like every hallway and every corner and everything. And now I'm like, I have no idea where to go. And there's like that jump pad thing that like Tracer can like jump up and then like blink anywhere, basically.
Yeah.
Kind of weird. But yeah, I think the new update's really nice.
I like it too, yeah. It's pretty cool. I gotta play more to get the skins I want. It's gonna be... I have to do a lot of grinding.
I have an Overwatch question. So...
Yes?
Overwatch came out. I bought it, and now there's Encore Edition. Do I have to buy that separately?
Totally.
Crap. That bumps me out. All right.
Maybe you can ask someone if they can,
email the creators. You know what's an actual game that came out recently is Resident Evil 7.
Man.
I've heard it's great. I haven't really played it.
Kind of interesting.
But I hear it's really good.
Yeah, I've seen people play it. The new one, and it looks, from what I can see, it looks to be more kind of Resident Evil 1 in terms of like content, right? So it's, I think they're returning back to like a, you know, actual horror game kind of thing, as opposed to like, you know, the action shooter Resident Evil
4, Raccoon 5. City.
Yeah. Or Resident Evil 5, 6 rather, not 4. But I think it looks really good. They're doing a lot of things different in this one. The main thing being that it's from a first-person point of view, which is new, right? Most of the like aiming mechanics are the same. So, you know, you're like kind of still and really vulnerable when you're aiming.
Aim controls?
Kind of thing. But, yeah, it's like, you know, in Resident Evil kind of games, it's like you can't move and aim, really. Like, it's impossible. So you have to, like, if you want to actually precisely aim the weapon, you have to stop moving. Like, it forces you to stop moving.
I didn't know that. That's an interesting mechanic.
Yeah, so it's really good, and they still have that in first person. And because it's first person, obviously one of the big things they're touting is the VR capabilities, which aren't perfect. VR itself, I mean, isn't perfect yet. I think it's a really cool idea, and the concept's there, and it's nice.
Yeah, I hope. I mean, it sounds like they're... I mean, I haven't watched a whole lot of footage, but it seems like the consensus is that it's finally like a solid Resident Evil game, like for the first time in a while.
I think it's kind of like a return to its roots kind of thing.
Yeah.
Also has a really weird naming scheme because, so if you didn't know before, so it's called Resident Evil here, right? But in Europe, it's called Biohazard.
And then Japan, I think.
And in Japan, I think it's called Biohazard. But here, this game is called, here is called Resident Evil 7 Biohazard. And so in Japan and Europe, it's called Biohazard 7 Resident Evil. So it's really weird and kind of awkward. So it is both Resident Evil 7 Biohazard and Biohazard 7 Resident Evil.
But doesn't the Japanese language like kind of pronounce things backwards? Like they say their last name and the first name. So is it kind of like that? Where like they say
I think it was just none of the other games were ever like that.
That's true. Yeah, I don't know.
They literally were just Resident Evil 5, and then it was just, you know, they just replaced the name. That's all they did.
5 Evil Resident, you mean? Nah, I don't know.
Another game that's not out yet, but did you guys ever play in either of the Banner Sagas, Banner Saga 1 or 2?
No.
No. I've heard they're great.
Well, Banner Saga 3 has kind of been announced. It's on Kickstarter, apparently. They're asking, their goal is actually $200,000. Which is a decent amount of money, but a lot lower than, I think, less ambitious projects, which is weird, right?
Yeah.
So far, there's 37 days to go, and there's $182,800 pledged out of $200,000. But, I mean, it's Banner Saga. The art's really good. Hopefully, the story is just as good. Banner Saga 1 and 2. We're great. Right now, if you pledge $20, you get Banner Saga 1 and 2 on Steam or GOG.
What kind of games are they?
Is it like a Fire Emblem type thing?
Not really. It's like an RPG adventure kind of thing.
What?
I'm trying to think of a game to compare it to. It is kind of, I guess, like that.
Maybe not that specifically. Really,
not that specifically, but general, you know, it's an RPG kind of tactical style RPG, somewhat. But it is similar to Fire Emblem. I don't think it's that intense. I don't think it's as maybe quote unquote hardcore as Fire Emblem is in terms of tactical RPGs. But a lot of Banner Saga is as well the story, and the art, as I think, is really good in any Banner Saga I've ever played. In both the first and the second one, the art was really good. I enjoyed it. And it was just a good game overall. You know, it's a smaller studio, and it's making a good game.
It's a good game.
That's cool.
So that's happening.
Me and Nick got what's it called? The new game by the same people who make Castle Crashers.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. I don't remember what it's called.
What's it called?
I know of one from if you have, but it sounds like you're talking
about
something different.
It's not Battle Theater. It's the new game.
They come out with something else?
Yeah, that
Pit
game.
Pit People, that's what
it's called. Yeah, Pit People. Yeah, we played that at, we went to visit Brent, our friend Brent, and we all played that game, and it's exactly like Fire Emblem.
It's cooperative, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's the battling and all that is like we have, you know, I think like 6 or 7 people in like your army. Mm. They all do different things, and like you got to go, you know, to tiles and attack people,
and you can like convert strategize. Enemies, right?
Yeah, you can capture enemies that have, like, if you see an enemy that has a weird ability or something cool that you want, you got to like kill everybody else, and then you can capture that enemy, and they become part of your team. Oh, wow. Yeah, but like you can only have like 6 or 7 at a time. It was kind of fun. I'm not really like into those kinds of games for some reason. I think it's because I'm just not like good at strategy. But
I understand.
It was pretty like it had like its own charm. You know, with like kind of like casual.
It has a bit of a party appeal to it.
Yeah, it does. Even though it's a Fire Emblem type deal going on, but
it was the same sense of humor as their other
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah. Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah, okay. It's still there. That's what I meant by charm. It's just crazy and
yeah,
crude.
I'm a fan of every game they've made so far. So
yeah. They're good. They're good game designers. I haven't played Battle Block Theater though, so I can't really say my opinion on that.
I haven't played it too much, but it was fun. Yeah, Castle Crashers is great.
It's amazing. But yeah, that's about all the games I've been playing lately, except RuneScape.
Are you still playing RuneScape?
I'm still playing RuneScape.
Actually, I meant to not play. I forgot to cancel my subscription, and they charged me another $10 for this month. So you're like, might as well.
Someone's got to do it.
Yeah, actually, I haven't actually played a whole lot this month yet, but I have until like the 22nd, I guess, to play. And like some people in college started a RuneScape club, like unofficially.
Oh my god!
They put me in it because I showed. I said I played RuneScape in another club.
Oh no!
For the Rocket League club, I was like, I don't know how that happened. I don't know how that conversation happened, but yeah. And so now I'm in that club, and
oh my god,
stuff. So it's awesome, dude. I'm just been.
Wow.
It sounds like I'm really social, but I'm not. I have like.
Congratulations.
Thanks, man.
Congratulations.
You did it, son.
We've made it. We've made it, boys.
Cucky Kong.
Oh, my God. Please.
It's that word because of, like, the people that I see use it. But also, now to me, for reasons I can't explain.
I haven't even heard that term until tonight.
One time I accidentally. What?
I haven't even heard Cucky Kong. I've never. Even, I mean, that's amazing. That sounds.
Oh, no, I came up with that. I'm talking about the word itself.
Oh, Cuck?
Yeah. Like, one time I echoed that over the phone.
Yeah. And what happened?
I hung up on him.
Why?
But I was really frustrated and tired at the same time. And you cuck. And then, like, there was just silence. And then I was like, you meat-eating, you know, play it off of something. Like, make it obvious I'm joking. And then
you never talked to your dad.
And them. We were, like, late for that. And that's why I was frustrated. Upset with him, and I had to like explain that I was messing with him. Yeah. Next topic, please.
So Nintendo Switch is a thing.
Yes, it looks awesome.
It looks really cool, actually.
I mean, I'm probably not going to buy one until like way later, but.
I like the concept of it, you know, like focusing on just one thing and it being a tablet so you can move it around. I mean, the battery life is kind of as expected.
I ordered it along with Zelda.
Yeah, that's the next thing I was going to say, is I'm probably going to buy it for Zelda.
Yeah, Josh, you better, Andronimo, I guess, you better tell me how it is.
Oh, yeah.
If it's not disappointing.
Wake up, I'm going to be in your bed playing Zelda.
I don't think I'm going to be using the actual tablet form very much. Like, maybe, like, in bed. But even then, like, the battery life is supposed to be around, like, 2 hours.
It depends on, like, Zelda will be, like, three hours.
Of course, but, yeah.
Okay.
Like, assuming relatively intensive game. Assuming you're not playing Bejeweled on your freaking Switch. And,
I would hope not.
Bejeweled.
It should be like in the range of like 2 to 3 hours.
Yeah, the thing that's gonna suck about that though is that over time the battery life's just gonna get worse and worse. So like 3 hours maximum, like over a year or so, it's gonna be like an hour.
What do you think of the titles confirmed for it besides Zelda?
There's nothing. I don't think it's very interesting. I think it's got Zelda and that's it as launch titles. Not, I mean, as launch titles or overall?
Are they talking like...
Overall.
Overall, there's some cool ideas, but I think Zelda's in a different level.
Far away off, but they announced another No More Heroes.
They announced a lot of stuff, but...
Oh, okay.
Xenoblade's pretty good.
I mean, another Shin Megami Tensei.
See, that will be a good game.
Oh, yeah. I'm very excited. It'll be amazing. To be honest, like, I think that this will actually get a lot more third-party support, but I don't... I don't know to what extent this is
exclusive. I don't think there will get many exclusives other than first party.
Honestly, though, to do better in that regard. But as long as it has the games I expect from them, they're probably going to make money on it. I guess
the problem from like a company standpoint is like where Nintendo stands off of this, and like how well are they actually doing just based off of just selling consoles with their first party games? This has been like a problem since like the Wii came out, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's just kind of like basically they keep making these, even now with the Switch, they keep making these consoles, releasing them at odd intervals compared to other consoles.
Yeah.
And B, them being just flat out, in terms of raw power, like just not messing with design or, you know, quality of service type stuff. In terms of just raw power of the system for developer use, inferior in basically every way since the Wii. But it's odd because they keep making like their first party games for even the Wii, the Wii U, and from what we can see from Zelda, the Switch, the first party games are amazing on even their console, right? Like they have less power. On paper, it should be worse, but it still plays nicely because they polish it so well.
Yeah, they make it work.
Mm-hmm. And the question is,
Mario Galaxy games are gorgeous.
The question is, why would a developer, right, a third-party developer that is not affiliated directly with Nintendo, choose to do it on that as opposed to something else?
Mainly, besides, unless they just really want to support it, would be, like you said, situations where...
Yeah.
Well, the best example would be Bayonetta 2.
Mm. Yeah, that's a good
Nintendo
point.
Was the only company that would publish them.
Yeah, I think they were the only people willing to cough up the money to do it.
I would say. They've got a pretty steady partnership now.
Was very successful. The game was very nice.
I'm actually currently playing through that.
I think the appeal, if the small appeal, I guess, would be the mobile part. If the mobile part of the Switch is so good and it's like really successful, they can find a way to like eventually or soon come out with like a portable charger or something like that.
Right.
Like, that'd be huge.
I think in order to do that, Nintendo needs to fix a problem that they've also had since the Wii, and that is their online service. Their online accounts and service is inexcusably terrible.
And yes,
like, it I've just heard that it's
a lot better. I watched this dude, you know, Pro Jared on YouTube. Mm.
Him.
He went and like played the Switch and like, you know, got to exclusively, you know, get into it. He talks about the online a little bit and how like it's a lot better, and they're using like an app now. You have to, like, you can use this app on your smartphones to like manage stuff. I don't know if it's required or not. It might be like a Steam type thing where like you can get the Steam mobile app and do stuff on there. But just that alone, they got rid of friend codes and all that.
Oh, thank God.
And
that could be great, potentially.
I don't know too many other details, but just like that alone, like them making that push towards, I feel like just them having that app, like just them developing an app, just kind of shows that like, okay, we're finally with the times a little bit. You know, we're going to try to, you know, get stuff modernized, not freaking friend codes and all that.
I think another big thing that they need to, I don't, obviously, like, the Switch isn't out, and I don't know how it will work when it's released. But if I can take, like, the tablet, like, you move it out, right? You have it mobile with you. Right. If I can find, like, three other people, meet up with, like, three other people, and like say boot up Mario Kart on the tablet and we can get in a game together in 3 minutes or less, that is the ideal. Like, I don't need to be messing around adding people as friends and stuff to be able to play with them. Like, it needs to be quick.
And I think also, even without that, like, if you just had your Switch with you, like on a bus ride or something, or like in college, I think it'd be fun if like someone brought their Switch to the cafeteria or something, and then like you just and like a couple of your friends play some Mario Kart or something. I think that'd be super dope. And
imagine that there's going to be a Smash Brothers port for that reason.
Oh my gosh, yeah, that would be amazing. But
yeah,
the little controllers, I don't know how like those will feel.
No, and they still have like the pro controllers as well, right?
Yeah, but they're like $70
right?
Yeah.
I wish that.
I suppose for like if you're just using it at home, though, you might want to invest in like a pro.
I heard that the Wii U broke incompatible, which bums me out.
Yeah, I imagine they're moving away from a lot of the Wii U.
That's so strange how the Wii U, I feel like, was just a prototype of the Switch. And they just had to get it out
to
keep up with competition.
And I still,
it's just so strange.
I like the Wii U a lot. I think it's had some great
titles. The
concept
of the Wii U is really good. It's just, I think that they had the wrong title. The biggest concern. Like, the RPG potential was, day one, the RPG potential was massive. And they just didn't, I don't think, like, it had some good RPGs on there, don't get me wrong. But, like, they released Monster Hunter on DS with no Wii U version? What? Like, how does that make any sense? Like, if I can think of the perfect Monster Hunter machine, it is the Wii U. Hands down.
Yeah.
So I thought that was always like a big, I don't understand. I'm
confusing. I think I read it like someone on Reddit had a theory that the Switch is going to be made to where all of their games are going to be put on the Switch instead of like two different things like the Wii U and the 3DS.
That's what I'm kind of hoping.
That's how it comes across.
But it's all about actual mobility, right? Like actual portability is like, how easy is it going to be carried around this tablet? Like, how much does it weigh? I don't know the exact dimensions of it either. I don't remember, but
about the Wii U size, I think.
Yeah.
Wii U.
But the weight is a big component, and like the thing about a DS is like, is maybe not the XL versions, right? Like the XL versions are huge, obviously, but some of the DSs you could like fit in your pocket and stuff, right? So
yeah,
Oh, for sure.
Well, it's not a.
This won't be like that, I think.
I think Jared on YouTube, he compared the tablet to a 3DS XL, and it was only slightly bigger.
Hmm.
That video is actually pretty informative. I would go check it out. But it wasn't like huge, but it was it's a pretty good size. So.
Yeah. It's being that we have like game, you know, YouTube, like freaking interviewing Moto and Reggie and getting to try this stuff out now. You know what I mean?
Mm. Yeah.
We're in the YouTube future, is so large.
Yeah. You know, I wouldn't have, you know, even thought of that. Or at least one.
Yeah, I don't even, like, I don't even think he's, compared to some of the other, you know, the larger YouTubers, like even in the gaming community, like, and he got to do
pretty
it.
Pretty sizable. What's that?
Like, he was not even, like, when you think of modern, like, obviously a lot of people have gotten really popular. Why or how we'll just say isn't relevant for now, but like he's not even the biggest gaming one of the biggest gaming YouTubers, and he still got to like go directly to Nintendo and like great. Do this.
They I don't know how it, you know, got to like him and the completionist going to this. Back in like 2015, Nintendo had like a championship thing where they would introduce, they would show off Mario Maker. Some guys play Smash Brothers against each other, and they had like Igor. They had a speedrunner that I watch, TriHex, like that. Mm. That, you know, I, you know, showing how the internet changes things. Normally, I wouldn't think of that happening, and I guess I pay a lot more attention to the fan communities now.
Yeah, it's because they're so influential now, right? YouTubers have such big influence on the people who subscribe to them directly and watch them all the time. And if, like, you're thinking about getting a game and your favorite, you know, your favorite YouTube reviewer or Let's Player or whatever shows it off and has a bad experience with it, then you might not buy the game anymore.
Right, right, exactly.
And conversely, if they sound like they're having a great time playing the game, you're more likely to buy it. So
this is a great reason to not use Game Grumps to promote games.
Yeah.
Unless you already know that they like it.
Yeah. Because let's just say Aaron can. I mean, if there's like a bad first impression, that's it. It's over. I mean, he will spend the rest of the series just systematically destroying your game. So
I love Game Grumps.
Sure.
They had.
I enjoy them a lot. Man,
they had a Finn. What's it? Wolfheart.
Oh, the Stranger Things kid.
Yeah. I thought that was kind of interesting. I didn't really think it was like the best guest grumps that they have.
Or in front of him.
Oh yeah. But he didn't. No, he didn't care. He watches them all the time.
Yeah.
Apparently he's been a fan since. Yeah, how old is he? Like,
those kids get pretty down and dirty in Stranger Things. So.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, dude. Did you see that makeout scene?
Dude, anyway. What else has happened? Star Wars, they have the title, right?
Yeah, The Last Jedi.
Last Jedi.
Oh my god.
I'm really excited.
Yeah. I'm looking. I mean, this is going to be like every year, right? Like Christmas time. Which is going to be Star Wars.
I feel like this movie has to be the best. It has to be the best out of the new trilogy, because that's just how it usually is. You know, like the second movie of the trilogy.
The second.
is the best, you know.
Can I just direct
it has to be the best. To... It has to be the best. If it's not, then I'm going to die. I'm going to die.
Well, I mean, I don't want it to be better than episode 9 rendering. They're already having to rewrite it.
That's not good.
Which broke me.
What did you guys think of Rogue One?
Rogue One? I really liked it.
I thought it was good. I mean, critically, maybe it wasn't the best film, right? But like, as a Star Wars movie, I very much enjoyed it, I think.
I didn't really have any issues.
I just didn't like it.
You didn't like
it? I didn't like it. I didn't.
Really?
No,
What problems did you have?
The first like hour and a half was just so boring to me. I feel like nothing really happened. I didn't feel a connection to any of the characters really. Like they tried to a little bit, but yeah. Like I feel like they tried to make you connect with what's her name, the main character. I forgot her name. Jen. With like, you know, like she, the whole thing with her dad, you know, oh, this character has a connection, but it just, I don't know, she didn't have like any sort of like lovable, well, I guess that was the whole problem with the whole movie was that it just didn't really feel like a Star Wars movie, and I kind of appreciated them like taking like a darker tone to it, like kind of like a Saving Private Ryan type feel to it. I'm glad they tried that, but I just feel like it didn't really work out because you wanted to have like quirky, you know, like kind of funny lines of dialogue, like you know, like colorful, punchy.
I didn't think so.
I like the last act with like there was some great action scenes and stuff, but at the same time I was just like when all the characters at the end, you know I just didn't feel anything. Like I was just like, oh, all right. I mean,
definitely it is very different from the original trilogy, and I appreciate that. I think that's the point of having anthology films, is, you know, try and emulate that style. And so, and then I also think that being as dark as it was shows that Disney isn't gonna screw, you know, just because of their reputation. And so,
well, I don't know.
That's a lot more that makes me feel a lot like more comfortable about you know, the rest of whatever like they're working on.
It was dark just to be dark, but the thing was is that for a dark movie to work and for you to like actually be like, oh my gosh, are you kidding me? Like, you know, Game of Thrones,
right?
You know, they always have these twists, you know, people randomly dying, and you feel like you're getting stabbed in the chest when someone dies because you've built up like this relationship with them. You know, you've gotten to know them, you know, like their morals, you know, their character, you know, what they stand for, you know, how cool they are, what, you know, whatever. And then they die. You're like, oh my God, no, like you're not going to have that. You're not going to see that character ever again. But in this movie, you know, everybody just freaking died and you just didn't feel like a good connection. Like the only thing the most remorse I had was for the blind Asian guy, because just because he seemed like a cool character, just like his fighting style was cool. That's it. Like I didn't care about anything else about him. Like it didn't even explain a whole lot. They said they guarded something, but he and his pal, but it like didn't really explain that very well. And that's really it. Like no one else I feel like had like just was just a super cool like character, or like had a good personality to make me like care when they all died.
I think they, because
even the robot.
What?
Like even the robot, he was, I guess, supposed to be the comic relief, but he just kind of ended up being a butt. like, I was just kind of like, man, it's not even like funny.
I enjoyed him.
Mean. I don't know. I just didn't like him.
I think personally, to, you know, make a movie about this story, it's in timeline wise in like a wedge, you know? So they have to cram what they can, which is why it's good that they're letting themselves not specifically emulate the, you know, directing style of the original trilogy, because that allowed them to essentially have flashbacks, stuff like that in the film. And so with that in mind, I think they did what they could with the fact that the movie is, you know, taking up a really specific story-wise. And they managed to incorporate that into the film by having the entire cast of characters basically consist of unsung heroes, like people that were never properly appreciated. And you could say that they had to do that because, you know, obviously in the theory, you don't see the people that stole the Death Star plans. But I think since they were having to write under those sort of, I guess, obligations, you know, to have it wrapped up by the end, they managed to, instead of making that feel like something that's something that you never see these people again, they managed to do around that. In that you have Darso's father serving as, you know, kind of A New Hope, in that he's the reason they're able to destroy the Death Star in the first place. You have, you know, Krennic, who they didn't have to have in the movie. I guess they needed to have us with personal ties to the protagonist, but he's similar in that he was a large part of the Star, and then he is essentially wiped out. He never is acknowledged in the way that he wanted. And then the entire cast of the protagonists, people that, you know, essentially go into the mission, no one comes back, you never hear about them again. I'm sorry if maybe I'm not, like, putting this the most eloquently or cohesively, but basically I think that they did embracing kind of the restrictions that came along with having to write that story. And so in that regard, I think they made it work. Even if they weren't able to flesh out every single character, I liked all of the characters. They made them have enough fully explored. They all had a motivation that, you know, and enough likability, if that's even a word, that I did, you know, I felt attached when they all got killed off at the end. But I mean, that's just me, and I like Star Wars a lot, so
I'm not really saying like each character has to have like an elaborate like backstory, you know, that can only be explained through like three movies or whatever, but I don't know. I just feel like the reason why it failed was because they tried to cram all this stuff into one movie. I feel like it would have been a better movie if they focused more on like her father more. Like,
yeah,
know,
it's or, not perfect like, with that.
Like, or like if they focused just on like just maybe if it was just her and that other guy, and they just what's his name? Yeah, if they just had like maybe just less characters, and then just focused on making the characters like have like, you know, everything kind of revolves around them, and so you get to know them more, feel more attached to them. Instead, it just kind of felt like I don't know. It was just really all over the place for me in terms of character development.
Saw Gerrera, at first. But that he is a character in a story arc of the animated series, and then he's also been in the show, and so that helped a little bit with figured it out by how he was handled. I still think, but at the same time, it also kind of adds to the films being very much about, you know, people at the end of their lives. But maybe I'm, you know, looking too much into it, and there's not actually all.
Well, you said, like, I mean, this is a movie about how underappreciated this crew was for going to get the plans. Well, the thing is that, you know, I think the original intention was for you to get to know all the crew and for you to be like, wow, really? Like, they didn't get appreciated? Like, no one talked about them? These are awesome people. But mm-hmm. It just didn't end up happening. Like, it just ended up being, oh, well, they were forgotten because they're just lame and no one cared about them. Like, that's what I feel like. I don't know.
So, I guess how much it seems like this is the case for the most. Your enjoyment of the film is dependent on how much you're able to enjoy those characters, you know, for what little you got.
Well, even if
background in it.
I mean, I think it's very important, especially in a Star Wars movie, you know, the characters are like should be like kind of like the number one concern is even if it's like a darker tone, I feel like you need to kind of, because I mean, Saving Private Ryan did it, like, you know, you feel attached to all the soldiers. They all had like their own unique like quirks and like personalities, so like when they, you know, were died, or actually, I haven't seen Saving Private Ryan. I think they all died, though. I mean, you know, when they, I just know, like, that's not really a good example, even though, because I haven't seen that movie. But
I know what you mean.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. But even like, I don't even remember like what happens. Like, I remember she goes to visit that black guy, and and he just, for some reason, stays behind and dies.
Yeah, it wasn't communicated very well. I think the intention behind that, besides the fact that his animated appearances show that he is like a soul and it's kind of insane. I think there was also the factor of he's walking on these like mechanical legs. And he is a big time smoker, and he thought he was going to hold them back.
Yeah, I don't know, but like when he died, it was just like I didn't feel any. I feel like he was trying to. It was trying to be like an Obi-Wan kind of character, maybe something like a mentor, but it didn't even show like or explain her upbringing or her like. Anything with him, because apparently this dude raised her
coming
for
out,
you know, years and years and years, and then when they reunite, she's just like, "Oh, hey!" Like she's like, "I haven't seen you in years. Where have you been?" "Oh, I'm dealing with personal problems." "Well, you need to stop." "Okay." "All right." "Oh, okay. Dang." "Well, we need to get out of here." "Oh, no, I'm going to stay behind. I see ya. I'm going to die." I don't know. I don't even really remember that whole scene. Because I was just like, I don't know. I just, and what happened after that? I forgot. Like, they go, like, find her dad on, like, a rock planet.
Can we agree that Vader sequence was good?
Ending?
Yeah.
The very end?
Heck,
I feel
like
that was a little bit too much fan service.
Okay.
It was okay. I mean,
if we get right down to it, I'm pretty sure that's what these
kind
of films are,
better.
Right?
It would have been a lot better if Darth Vader wasn't in the rest of the movie at all. And he just, and that, it was just that scene at the end. And you're like, oh my god, like this. But like, Darth Vader was in the movie for like no reason. Like, he was just there. He just said some stuff. What, like think about it. Like, what did he actually do in the movie? I don't, like, he choked that one guy, but
I think that was, besides showing Vayron in the movie, that also served to show Krennic's, you know, we see that he's, like, frustrated and basically getting abused by Tark, who was a CGI man. But then we also I'm trying to think of the way. I guess I kind of felt, besides introducing Vader earlier on in the film, he knows who he is, that also illustrated better the pressure being put on Krennic, and, you know, what exactly he was trying to do. He was trying to, you know, basically promote himself. You get to see a bit more of his character, you know, besides it just establishing that Darth Vader is a castle on Mustafar.
Yeah.
And you could argue most of the movie was fan service, and I don't know whether or not that bugs you, you know, that just depends on the person.
I personally don't have a problem with that kind of thing, so no, I think I enjoyed it.
Well, my people problem with the fan service is just like when, you know, down the road when they keep making these Star Wars movies, like they're gonna run out of.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Like things.
Yeah. I really liked this. I think that they're doing. So
I mean, overall, to me, I'm glad it exists. I'm glad that they tried doing something different with the Star Wars movies and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think I feel like it could still be possible to make a movie with like a dark tone like that, where everybody dies and like it's just like really sad and stuff. But I just feel like this particular story just didn't really, I don't know, or like just this particular movie. The way I don't even know where it specifically went wrong for me, but just wasn't, I don't know, just wasn't that great. I think it was like a 5 out of 10.
Did you like Force Awakens?
Yeah, I like Force Awakens because okay. You love the character. You know, the characters are great.
Well, I guess
even though it was a copy of like A New Hope, but it.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like the fan service in that movie and all that was like appropriate because
we've actually gotten two different tributes to A New Hope at this point.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. And
opposite moods.
Mm-hmm. But I really enjoy them both. And so I respect where you're coming from. And then Geronimo in the middle.
I mean, I'm pretty...
Between the
I don't think it was that great of a movie. Like, in terms of, like, just ignoring everything. Because I think that you can't just start imposing these, like, well, it was good under these limitations kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like that whenever you're talking about a movie. So in terms of just critically as a movie on its own, I don't think it's that great. But it was, as a fan of Star Wars and just liking Star Wars in general, and basically like basically every extended universe book that existed before that were that most of which are no longer canon, the beginning and endings were just like this. I mean, it's just fan service. That's all it is at the end of the day.
This movie, if it wasn't Star Wars, it would just be like
it would be mediocre. It would be a mediocre
sci-fi movie. Where a bunch of people got to go get a thing.
But it is Star Wars, and because I know because I have a general idea of what's happening, because I know is going to happen afterwards and what has happened before and that kind of thing, I think I can get excited during the movie because of that. And I think I can enjoy it more because of the rest of Star Wars. It would not be near as good.
It existed in a vacuum.
Yeah, if it was not related to Star Wars, I do not think it would be as good. But it is, so I like it.
That,
And I think that's about as simple as I can get it.
That was the argument I was trying to make, that, like, it's good in limitations it was under.
Yeah, I mean, for its limitations, in between story, it's pretty good.
Well, here's the thing. Like, this movie, like I said, you know, if you strip all the Star Wars, like, visuals away, it's just like a sci-fi, regular sci-fi movie.
Yeah.
But, like, and
let me put it this way, like, though. I still like this movie more than the last Star Trek movie.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Yeah, the last Star Trek movie was
like, even comparing it to other, like, sci-fi movies, I think, of course, this isn't going to be the big sci-fi movies that we remember. It's not going to be the original trilogy. It's not going to be the original Star Trek. It's not that good at all. But it's a pretty okay movie. And I had fun. It's like kind of like Avengers in that I went there, I had fun watching it, and I left.
Well, the problem with me is that I feel like it doesn't. There's not enough Star Wars things, even though there are Star Wars things. Like in The Force Awakens, it works as a Star Wars movie because there's like the whole plot is about, you know, there's like a subplot about Rey finding, you know, her, you know, destiny with the Force and all that. Like, why does the lightsaber? You know, that's a very specific Star Wars plot point. You know, Finn is an ex-stormtrooper. That's like a Star Wars plot point. Like, that's a thing that's specific to Star Wars. In this movie, you could have replaced everything with something else, and it would have been not Star Wars. Like, even the blind guy who apparently uses the Force to, like, you know, I guess hit things or whatever. It doesn't. It's not
But I think what they're trying to accomplish with this movie is the idea that for everybody else in this universe they've created that isn't part of the main quote, like the quote unquote main storyline. Like, this is just a regular world. Like, it's just a regular fucking sci-fi world. That's it. Like, there's nothing special about it if you can't use the Force. And I think that's why they went for a darker tone kind of thing. Is that they're just trying to show, like, this is just like, these people have almost, except for that, the blind guy kind of thing. But for the most part, these people don't really have a connection to the Force. And there's nothing really that special about them. It's just regular people who are going to risk their lives for the rebellion.
And that's a good point, actually. And I feel like they could have capitalized that on a little bit better. Like, for instance, when they go and into that planet where that blind guy is, they could have shown better, like, how they were restricted by the Empire. Like, kind of like how a Roman Empire, you know, type thing. Like, where they show, like, them being oppressed. I mean, they kind of did a little bit, but I feel like they could have capitalize
supporting,
like,
material very much stresses that, and that shouldn't be
necessary.
I don't think what you're saying about the plot points of Force Awakens being exclusive to Star Wars, like, since they're in the context of Star Wars, yes, but most of tropes of they weren't really that original to begin.
Oh, I know. I know that
Star Wars, because of the impact that it had.
It already kind of happened in A New Hope, like all the stuff that happened.
Well, I'm saying even A New Hope is largely, you know, what Star Wars originally was is influenced by the Dune books, comics.
Right, but I mean, you can say this about almost every movie, right, ever made has been heavily influenced by something.
But I thought you were touching on something in that there's all these multiple dynamics going on in Force Awakens, you know, several different arcs. Whereas with Rogue One, and now not every movie has to have, you know, a ton of different character arcs. Shin Godzilla didn't, and I thought that movie was great. Progressing. Rogue One one specifically built around, you know, one plot point. And the movie was just a matter of, you know, getting.
Yeah.
And so from that, whether or not, you know, I can't really say. But I thought that that's a good point. They're more part of a unit than they are, you know, their individual personalities, really.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But I still enjoyed the characters for who they were, so.
Yeah, I think we've kind of exhausted most of what we can say.
Yeah.
On the topic. I mean, well, we've kind of like demonstrated here, what I saw online in forums and reviews and stuff is a general consensus. It's like, you know, there's a fairly large divide between people who liked the movie a lot and people who did not like it much.
Overall, though, it seems like it has been a critical success.
It's just kind of weird. Like, it's just.
And I think this is their first time doing this kind of movie, right? So they might have experimented with a lot of things behind the scenes that we didn't even cover or really think about too much, or things that we had problems with. And maybe they'll take that feedback, but we'll see how the next one goes.
So moving on, I'm the only one that has played the demo for Nier Automata.
Automata? Yeah, it's pretty good.
Is that how you?
Yeah, I think it's Nier Automata.
Okay. Have played
it? It's obviously, like, from the get-go, like, even from what they're marketing and stuff, right? Like, they're trying to be a Dark Souls.
What?
Somewhat, right? Like, are we talking about the same thing? I don't think so.
No, you're talking about N-I-O-H.
Oh, yeah.
No, Nier.
No,
VR.
You're talking about Nier. Oh, you're talking about that Japanese.
Sounds so distraught.
No, Nier.
The Platinum game.
Yeah, the Platinum. For that?
No, I haven't played that.
Okay, basically, you don't have to know anything about the Drakengard or original Nier game. This is. Oh my gosh, you've got to play the demo.
But what I mean
so
is it
good.
Just Platinum like ARPG?
What's that?
Is it a standard Platinum ARPG? What's special about it?
I have any examples of Platinum action RPGs. I've only played Bayonetta.
Well, what's special about it other than standard RPG combo based action RPG games?
Well, I can't really say what's special because, again, it sounds like you have a lot more to reference in regards to that than that. But it plays like Bayonetta, but instead of the gun just being more, you know, attack buttons, it's a or face buttons, it's a button coming from your character's robot assistant. So you're out with the camera while you're fighting, which means you're essentially controlling two units at the same time. But it's easy and smooth. Besides that, it controls like Bayonetta.
Mm.
Instead of a kick, you have a light weapon and a heavy weapon. At least in the demo, you do. The demo doesn't really explore too much of the art elements besides just the fact that your character will level up. But I thought at least it's really fun. I enjoy action games. I really enjoyed this. It controlled really well. The visuals were great. It's very. I think it says a lot when a game can use so much of like a gray color scheme to illustrate, you know, kind of a. To make kind of a dire setting, and it can still come across as flavorful in some ways. And I'd say that they're really doing that with this game. Besides just the appeal of, you know, if you like Bayonetta type gameplay, I just, as someone who enjoys and, you know, anime, stuff like that, this game is very, very much of that.
Yeah, it looks very anime. It's all over the place.
If you play Sin and Punishment, that's what this reminds me the most of. I guess you haven't played Sin and Punishment, but where the game is like, it's constantly surprising you, going over the top. Kind of like we were talking about Gurren Lagann. Where, Bayonetta does the same thing. And this
right, it's a spectacle, beat 'em up kind of game.
Exactly. And I also noticed, is that it switches camera perspective several times. For the most part, it's just full, 3D. But at one point, it's side-scrolling.
Okay, and so like a 3D side-scrolling kind of thing?
5D. And,
okay.
But it transitions slightly. It controls the same. And then it switches to top-down, like, Zelda or whatever. And again, it controls the same. It just works so well. I'm really excited for the full game, and I hope that the rest of the game is as good as the demo is, if not better.
What are the platforms? I imagine it's PS4.
PS4, and then I'm hearing PC.
Oh, really?
I think so.
That'd be amazing if they put it on PC.
Mm-hmm.
I guess so. I guess it is. It's going to come to Steam when it releases.
I don't know anything about this game, I'm afraid.
You said no firm release date for PC. But if I could play this at 60 FPS, that would be glorious.
Would you say near? How's it spelled?
N-I-E-R.
I-E-R. Automata. I'll have to spell that, Corbin. Our last topic. They're making a Mega Man. I think it's supposed to come out like later this year.
No, I don't
have much to say. It's made by like some of the people that did Ben 10. It looks
bad.
Oh my god! It's still very much a work in progress, but the art style looks bad. Mega Man looks bad. It just looks bad. The last
it's
good
by the same people
game,
who made Ben 10.
The last good, like the. The thing that Capcom has released featuring Mega Man is ports of 1 through 6 on the iPhone, and they control terribly, and the frame rate is off, the sound is off, and you get a better experience editing those same games on the phone, which is like, holy crap. Granted, you have to use an external controller and
technology
and jailbreak the phone or whatever, but still. So Capcom infuriating me in that regard. And then Mega Man was great in Smash Bros., but that's no thanks to Capcom. They just allowed it to happen, basically.
Capcom's like George Lucas, I feel like.
George Lucas? I mean, I wouldn't...
Like, with Mega... Like, how they handle Mega Man, like, now they're just... kind of like at first he was really great, made some really really good games, and now they just kind of like went too far and kind
well,
of
it's more
put
that
him down
they,
the toilet.
They had a Mega Man Legends 3 being made and then they canceled it. Like they just don't. It's less that they're bad at making games for him as it is that they don't care.
Yeah, that's true.
And when something gets to being worked on, they throw it down the toilet. But thanks.
And like the better versions, better Mega Man things that come out nowadays are like from people that are not Capcom. Like you said, Smash Bros. And
Fan games are great.
Yeah, fan
Mega Man
stuff,
Unlimited is
yeah.
like incredible. There's a ton of great Mega Man fan games out there. Games made by people that play similarly. Of course, Mighty Number 9 deal like that, and that didn't go over so well. I don't like about Mighty Number 9. And so that's That's my
yeah.
Plus eight about the Mega Man cartoon.
And it's getting a cartoon, and it's happening, and you can't stop it.
I don't know why they can't just do an animated adaptation of the manga by something Ariga. It's like a manga. It's really anime's good. Expensive. Mega Man Megamix. Mega Man Gigamix. Well, it could be
the main reason is anime is expensive.
Or they could do an adaptation of the Archie comic that ran for a while that was good. But instead, no. I'm so tired.
Like, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of Japanese companies that were big back, you know, way back when their first party IPs were really huge, and now they haven't handled the transition like Sega, and right? Like they haven't handled anything.
Sega's getting better, I think, but as frustrating as Capcom is, and like really frustrating, it's still not as bad as Konami.
Konami is essentially like they had actually given up on their game department a long time ago, I feel like. Like they were just using what little they had left in their games, mainly, you know, through like Metal Gear Solid and stuff like that, just make money on the side. But I think Konami has stopped seeing their games department as a valid source of income.
It's crazy. Like they basically killed themselves. Like the amount of excitement surrounding Silent Hills was amazing. Yeah. And it was like guaranteed success.
People would buy it just because of who was involved.
Yeah, and they're like, nah. Whereas at least Capcom is giving us Ace Attorney games and, you know, Street Fighter, yeah. Marvel vs.
This is very odd because like company like Konami, like usually a Japanese company like that, right? Mm-hmm. Like there's usually a disconnect that just happens. It's impossible, but they to not happen. But there's always a disconnect between the Western world and Japan. So even if we don't think they're doing much of anything, a lot of the times they're doing very well in Japan. Like Square Enix, right? Mm-hmm. Like, granted, in the past 2 years they've done some very very nice stuff, but.
And the new Final Fantasy
is amazing. I love it. I love the new Final Fantasy. But like Final Fantasy 13, for example, three games of Final Fantasy 13, and we were just sitting here for like 3 years going, what? And in Japan, they were making millions just off of merchandising. I mean, Lightning became a Louis Vuitton model. What? Why? Like, how was it so successful that they were like, stop everything. We're making two more Final Fantasy 13s because of this one character.
There you go, man.
So there's a lot of crazy things that go on with
Japan's crazy, man.
Think about Nintendo actually is usually pretty good about combining the experiences. And a lot of it has to do with Nintendo USA itself.
Oh, yeah. Really, yeah, sure. Good. Though they've recently been, if this hurts business necessarily, but the way they've been, like, shutting down every single fan game that comes out is infuriating.
To be fair, they always have done that. And it might just be that they need to alter their policy. But, definitely. Like, even the parent company, even in Japan, and there's, like, they have their tolerance is nothing. And it's really strange because at this point in time, like, even just, like, in a world where mod support is built into finished games, like, they should really start allowing the thing to happen. Just because it doesn't really hurt anybody. Like, it doesn't actually hurt their game, right? If anything, having these kind of things is just going to create a culture, I think, that will grow in numbers, and they will just instantly buy the games that Nintendo makes. So I don't know. I think it's they keep like shooting themselves in the foot a lot, but overall, I still think they're probably the the Japanese game company with the best Western connection.
Yes.
Second being something like Square Enix, I think, because they usually do a pretty are pretty standard with how they view the Western world, but then Nintendo tries. You know, they try to appeal to the United States and Europe. So
Sega has it going in the meme department, though.
In the meme department, for sure. Kept himself alive
because of that.
That's all. They've got one guy at Sega USA.
but now
Sonic memes are good to invest in right now.
But yeah, though we've got Mania coming out. That looks great. So
yeah,
I'm hopeful. I'm gonna watch Black Lagoon.
Yeah, I think we're done here. Been a heck of an hour.
Talking about a lot of Nier Automata is just like Dark Souls.
Yeah, just like Dark Souls. Honest. No, there are also a lot of games coming out that are like Dark Souls, and I'm looking forward to it.
Everyone loves Dark Souls. Hey, everyone loves last thing, can we have Cookie Kong become like the mascot? The scattered out,
mascot. I think we're gonna forget that this ever happened. So goodbye, everybody. We'll see you in the next episode.
Goodbye.